Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
All right, sing on the first now. Long years ago, and out in sin, I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees in agony, I prayed to Jesus and he glad to set me free. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. On the second, now I can feel him by my side. My feeble steps, he comes to guide. When trials come, he comforts me. More sin, I'll have the victory. Oh, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. On the last, oh, sinner, come to Jesus now at his dear feet. Just humbly bow, confess to him your every sin. He'll save and cleanse you, give you peace, joy within. Sing it! Never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing it, shout it, for he's heart. Sing the chorus one more time. Never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Amen. How many members that day say amen? Amen, amen. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. She was down on her knees. She would never get free. Her accusers had stones in their hands. And they turned to Jesus to see what he say, and the Lord, he just wrote in the sand. And they all walked away when they heard him say, let the sin free cast a first stone. And with tears on her face, her past was erased, and she stood in a moment of grace. Now the thief on the cross knew his life was lost. He must pay for the crimes of his past. And he'd done nothing right, he would sure lose this fight. And his time was running out fast. He took his last shot, said to Jesus, why not? Remember me when you reach heaven's gates. And Jesus forgave, all his sins were erased. And he died in a moment of grace. A moment of grace. Unmerited favor, unspeakable joy, my soul found an anchor. sweat my soul away. He called my name and everything changed in a moment of grace. Now I've been counted by that self-righteous crowd who would say, "You're not worthy to live." Well, I've drifted too far. I've been stuck in sin's mire. You need a miracle that God only can give. Yeah, then Jesus came by with this reply. He said, "I choose you, just live for me today." And again he forgave all my sins he erased. And I stood in a moment of grace. A moment of grace. Undeserved favor. Unspeakable joy. My soul found an anchor. Unmerited love and mercy that swept my soul away. He called my name and everything changed in a moment. Swept my soul away. He called my name and everything changed in a moment of grace.
Sheltered, safe within the earth. they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not of earth can harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Well, good evening. Let's try that again. Good evening. I tell you what, appreciate you that have been in prayer for my family. We took a few days off and kicked around and had a good time, and went out to Las Vegas. That's right. That's what I said. And that's right. And you know what they say? Christians don't go to the beach. They go to the coast. And Christians don't go to Vegas, they go out west. Amen. But because of the wonderful magic of Facebook, everybody that does look at the pictures that the kids post know exactly where we were. And one of the tour guys we were with said, it was a Chris Angel at his show said, referring to the old saying that they had in Vegas, what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. He said, what goes on in Vegas is found on Facebook. So you go to Facebook, you'll find about everything that we did. And Lisa did not put one red cent in any of the slot machines. So, I didn't, but on the way home, Dr. James Norris, the man that I used to work with in South Carolina at Trinity Baptist Church, of course, he's passed on August, maybe 3 years ago, but his wife called me when we were in Denver, Colorado, and she said, oh, we enjoyed our trip to Vegas. And she just turned 80 years old last month. And I said, well, Miss Peggy, be honest with me now. I said, when you and Pastor Norris were out here, did you play the slot machines? And she said, oh, honey, I did. And she said, if I go back, I'm going to do it again. Hey, man, I like them honest like that. Isn't that good? Not that I'm saying we should gamble or anything like that, but we really had a good time. It was funny how you see God's hand even in your vacation, how God works things out and lays things out. And we went, we took that trip for Rebecca's 16th birthday, and you know, we saved for it and worked for it. And so when it came time, we were able to do that. We don't usually get to take vacations that are that extravagant. But we saved for a long time so we could do that for her when she turned 16. Because Lord knows there ain't no way I'd get her a car. So, but it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It was good to be back. Lisa and I, we were packing to come back Thursday night. We were getting ready to, for Friday morning to get on the plane to head back to Noonan. And I told Lisa, I said, I'm glad we came, and glad we had a good time, but glad to be going back home. Like leaving and I like coming back home. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs. Tonight I prayed about where to go in this and settled in my heart this afternoon, right after we ate, or maybe even before church this morning. I can't remember exactly when, but I was going to preach a message, but I thought you'd think it was silly, on God versus the Hoover Dam. And the whole time we're going through the Hoover Dam, I just, and the tour guide was talking, and so many biblical applications, you know, and I thought, man, I'm going to preach that. And it sounded really good in the belly of the dam, but once I got back up where there was oxygen, I just really, really wasn't sure that that would be such a cool message after all. But as we look at the book of Proverbs, I'll start in chapter 3. The book of Proverbs is an absolutely amazing book. It supersedes any secular book ever written on any topic that the book of Proverbs touches. I will start in chapter 3, but even over in verse or chapter 2, you find the reward of heeding wisdom. And the book just step by step takes you through real life circumstances, things that we will encounter. Everything from situations that are just circumstantial to emotional and psychological and spiritual battles, as well as physical battles. The book of Proverbs just has so much depth to it. I really encourage, and the reason I am going to do what I'm going to do tonight is I really want to encourage all Christians to make the book of Proverbs a part of your daily life. I believe that it would change the minds and the hearts and the attitudes of Christians if we made the book of Proverbs a part of our daily reading and prayer and so forth. Because from the very first chapter, we see warnings and wisdom and so forth. And I believe that it will help you. And I'm just going to go through and hit a few things that are a blessing to me personally, but also I believe can help all of us in this room. And chapter 3 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Big statement. Important statement. But then the author goes on and says, For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Did you hear that? He says that my commandments can add length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. What a strong, emphatic statement. There's no room for debate. He's saying, keep my commandments and enjoy life. over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And then you know what it says? "For this is right." It just lays it out there in the book of Ephesians. Why do we, children, why should you obey your parents? Because it's the right thing to do. Pastor Payne said, "And we'll whoop you if you don't straighten up." It's the right thing to do. But beyond that, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Well, what is the promise, young people? "That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Did you hear that, young people? You've got promises that are given to you by the Word of God. Now, I'll go back to the book of Proverbs. Then we read in verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Did you hear that? Right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's like the Bible is saying, and I hope you take this in the spirit in which it's meant. It's as if the Lord is saying, "Hey, young people, tattoo this onto your heart." We live in a day when, for some reason, people want to mark up their bodies with tattoos and desecrate, in my opinion, the temple in which God has given us. But in this case, we're being told to write these things, write mercy, write truth upon the heart. Keep the commandments of God. Write that down on the table of your heart. Or if I could say once again, tattoo it right in there so it can't be removed. Well, why do it? Why do that? Look at verse 4. "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding." Yeah. Praise the Lord. And good. Yeah. Good. What does it say? Understanding in the sight of God and man. I mean, it's nice to find some favor or understanding in the sight of men. But I tell you, to find a little bit of that in the sight of God, that's cool. I mean, you think about it. A holy, righteous, perfect, omniscient, omnipresent God. And we find favor in His sight, and good understanding in His sight. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be," listen to this, "health." You with me? "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Now let me explain something here. Or as Ricky Ricardo used to say, let me explain something here, Lucy. Well, let me tell you, he says this, "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Now, remember what I just said in verse 8. Go back to verse 7. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and do what? Depart from evil. And it shall be help to thy neighbor and marrow to thy bone. You know what that's talking? It's refreshing. There's a refreshment there. That verse is referring to a refreshing. When you do what is right, when you do that which is good, when you go back to the first part of this chapter and you keep the laws, the commandments of God, listen to me, it can be absolutely refreshing. Young people, you don't have to go through life looking over your shoulders. It's refreshing, comforting, knowing that you don't have to worry about somebody finding something out on you, that you can relax knowing you haven't done anything wrong. Because if you have, you don't relax. You don't experience this refreshment. And you're constantly looking over your shoulder. Y'all can wake up now. Look, I love ice cream probably as much as anybody in this room. So we're looking here at the book of Proverbs and some of the things that we're sampling, if I may say so. We go over to, I don't know if you do, but I go to Sam's and I sample. I don't mind getting there at lunchtime because the samples. And then after the samples, you can go over to the little eatery there and for a dollar, is it $1.68 or $2.68, you can get a piece of pepperoni pizza that covers a plate and all the root beer you can drink. Folks, now that's the way to do it. Eat all you want for $2.68. There's a song there somewhere, Brother Dave. There's a million to be made. So we get to sample tonight a little bit. Look over in chapter 6. This is amazing to me. These six things that the Lord hate, the seven, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. I was reading after a fella concerning that term, proud look. And this is what he said. This proud look refers to someone that will lift somebody, he or herself up while putting someone else down. Isn't that kind of cool? I'll be honest with you, I've never thought of it like that before. But as I read and prayed, I said, that makes sense. That God would hate to see somebody lift themselves up while stepping on someone else. That makes all the sense in the world to me. So the Lord hates that. He hates the lying tongue. I don't really think I have to expound on that. I think we know that God hates lying. And the hands that shed innocent blood. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot get any more innocent than an unborn child, can you not? Go on the American Hero channel and you will see the horrors that took place during World War II against the Jews. And how they were systematically murdered by the millions. I mean, systematically. It was a train wreck. It was a mess. It was demonic. And we get on our high horse and we say that. But ladies and gentlemen, there's been a lot more unborn children murdered in the womb of women here in America than there were Jews killed during the Holocaust. And now, finally, somebody gets to the root of the issue, which is that the abortion clinics and the abortion advocates, they've always wanted and are now doing it, selling body parts from those children. God hates it. God hates it, and he's not going to let us get away with it. Christians, I love you. And I love you, I love you. But if God hates it, it'd be a cold day in purgatory before I'll vote for somebody that advocates this. God hates it. It's murder. It's infanticide. It's beyond just killing. It's killing of the most innocent. And God hates it. He hates it. And hands that shed innocent blood, God hates it. Tell you how messed up we are right now. This comes out, and people go on TV and defend Planned Parenthood. But some doctor somewhere, I can't remember, here in the States, shoots a lion that's on the endangered species list, and people are marching in the streets while Planned Parenthood sells body parts of human beings. I tell you, folks, I'm a little wound up tight about that, so you just forgive me. But that's just evil, and it's wicked. And Christians, I believe we've got the power to stop it. I believe we've got the power to stop it by our vote. And I believe we have the power to stop it by getting on the phone to our congressmen and our senators and lambasting them for being so gentle with Planned Parenthood. That's just a sidebar. You can take it and leave it. But I don't apologize for saying it. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running into mischief. Folks, we got to be Christians. We've got to be smart. We find ourselves constantly getting into the middle of mischief. We've got to be smarter about what we're doing. I was talking to somebody today about a particular issue, and the bottom line is the Bible tells us very clearly that in the multitude of counsel is found wisdom. And I don't mean that if you go and you talk to one person for 3 hours that you're finding wisdom necessarily. I really believe that when we find qualified, God-fearing, God-loving, God-respecting individuals, and we're able to get information, extract information from them about a certain situation that may revolve around a decision we're trying to make, I believe with all my heart we can make good decisions. I really do believe that we can make good decisions. But it takes many times the multitude of counsel to find that wisdom. What I find is that when we seek the multitude of counsel, we may speak to someone and they will be way off in left field. And we may speak to somebody else, and they'll be way off over here. But then we'll speak to somebody else, or maybe all these at one time. And it's amazing how the Lord puts all this information and together, and it's like a puzzle. And it's amazing to me because all of a sudden, this thing that was said by this fellow or this lady that seemed to be way off over here, it you see how it can fit into the puzzle of what you're working through. Do you understand what I'm saying? And God uses all this information, and we're able to decipher that information and trust that the Lord would lead us through His Spirit to know what to do. But many times it is through the multitude of counsel in that manner. And then there's also the multitude of counsel in prayer. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I will share with you what I mean. How many times have you gone to the Lord? I can't speak for you, but for myself, I did not know what to do, did not know where to turn. And sometimes God just roadblocks secular counsel or counsel from individuals. And you go to him and you start talking to him and telling him about all this, that, and the other. And it's amazing how so many times that God will speak to your heart. And so there's another type of abundant counsel, if I may say. It was a couple, I can't remember now, it was a few weeks ago, God gave me a topic that he wanted me to preach on. He gave me the topic. I was here about 10 or 10:30 that night, and I had the topic. And I said, Lord, and I think I told Brother Dave about this. And I said, Lord, now you've given me a topic, and there's all kinds of things to say on this topic, but I really think that it would help me out a little bit if you would give me some points. It's something to take off from. And I tell you something, folks. I ran into a dead end. I ran into a roadblock. I ran into a detour in my studies. And this went on and on and on until about 10 o'clock that night. And I closed my Bible. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but you're about to kill me. I mean, you don't want to stand up in front of people and drool. You prefer to provide some instruction, something that's straight from heaven. You want to believe that you've spoken on behalf of God when you get down. And so I came up and I started praying to the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, God is my witness. This is what happened. I start praying to the Lord about my message. And as I'm praying to him, I start praying my outline. And it all rhymes. It all started with the same letter. And I said, in 30 minutes, I was out of here on my way home. And I said, Lord, thank you for your abundant counsel. I came up to pray to you about it, and while I prayed, you literally gave me my outline. I said, Lord, I wish you'd do that every week. You probably wish I'd do that every week. But then we move on. 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is the biggest struggle that we have as Christians. I believe it's enormous. I believe it's enormous because we have a weakness, all of us, and it's this little member in our mouths, and it's the tongue. The Bible tells us, and I can't quote the text, but basically, a man that can conquer the tongue can almost do anything. Let's go back. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. Folks, this tongue, it's a killer. I'm not that I'm against tongues. I'm not for speaking in tongues. But I'm for tongues. We use them. We talk with them. We taste with them. Amen. We taste ice cream with them. But nevertheless, they're such a dangerous member. They can either make a Christian or they can break a Christian. They can make a ministry or they can break a ministry. And it's all in this little member called the tongue. we're going to stand before God for the way we use our tongue. What does the Bible tells us in this Proverbs chapter 10? He says this, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slanders is a fool." Slander, he that uttereth defaming evil report is a fool. And the fool here means a silly or stupid person. I like that. In verse 9 of the same chapter 11, in Proverbs chapter 11, "A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor." Hypocrite here means soiled or corrupt person. So you have a soiled, a corrupt person with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. But then you move down a little further, and listen what it says. "By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted." Now, one author said this city is referring to the church. And for sermon's sake, I'm going to agree with him. "By the blessing of the upright, the church is exalted." Did you hear that? "By the blessing of the upright, the church is exalted. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." The wicked can be Christians, allowing ourselves to be used of the devil. None of us want to believe. None of us want to believe that we could be used of the devil. I mean, after all, when we speak, it's with a purpose. Usually, a prayer request. And I'm not against prayer. I think you know that. But we've got to be careful, Christians, because we can exalt, we can be a blessing, we can build the church, or we can overthrow the church. Now, I'm not talking about the church of God. I'm not talking about the church as a whole, but I am talking about individual local churches can be hurt because of the things that we do and say. Well, I'm almost done. But there's just so much of this. We could go on and on and on and on and on until there's nothing but mush back there to drink through a straw. So I want to end with this one. I'm going to jump all the way over. I'm going to jump all the way over to chapter 17. And I want you to hear this one. I'm almost done. "He that covereth the transgression seeketh love. He that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." It's a horrible thing. I forget, it's been a month or two ago. I woke up and my heart was just broken. I wept like a baby for a day, thinking about situations and circumstances where friends that used to be friends are no longer friends because of individuals. Churches that used to fellowship with other churches but don't anymore because of people throwing wedges, creating circumstances and situations that where there used to be close fellowship and brotherly camaraderie and love is gone. Ladies and gentlemen, that's wicked. That's evil. That's demonic. And Satan loves it. So hear what God says about this. Verse 9, He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Did you hear that? He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Exhibits love. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I want to be the man that seeketh love. There was a verse that I wanted to share with you, and that was one of them. But it all comes down to this. If we're looking to destroy, we can. But we got to understand something. We're being used as a tool of the devil. On the other hand, we can exalt one another, encourage one another, overlook one another. You're going to have to overlook me. I promise you that. You hang around very long, you'll learn quickly. You'll have to overlook me if you're going to love me. But if you overlook me and love me, I believe it lines up with the Word of God right here. At the end of the day, the Bible tells us that love covereth a matter. I just know that God told me to do this tonight, folks. I just know that He wouldn't let me get away from this. There's no great dynamic, nothing to really remember, no theme, no outline that rhymes. But I believe with all my heart, if we'll fall in love with God and learn to fall in love with each other, we sure can overlook a lot of garbage. And I'll just put it like this. You and I both know that our kids that come up, they do dumb things. And sometimes kids can be stuck on stupid. But moms, dads, if I'm right, tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. You love them anyway, don't you? There might be a time of spanking or putting them on restriction or whatever. But you love them, don't you? Time wears on and you even forget what it happened. I'll use my dad as the illustration here, but it's the truth. Y'all just bear with me. If you ask my dad, has Alton ever done anything to embarrass him, he'll tell you no. Well, I want to tell you that is a lie. It is. But the fact of the matter is, he doesn't remember it. And not because he splattered his head on the sidewalk about 3 or 4 years ago. He doesn't remember it. Because he loves me. That's right. And I tell you, God is my witness. There's people at Westside Baptist Church that has done things over the years. And then circumstances later on brought them up, and I did not even remember them. I chose to forget, and I chose to love. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to succeed in our Christian walk without bitterness and hurt. We're going to have to forget. And the only way you're going to forget is by loving. Let's stand. I am done. I'm going to ask if the church would just come forward. Do things a little differently tonight. I mean, we usually do this anyway. Pastor, you come and lead us in the church prayer. My objective is not necessarily to skip an invitation, but sometimes do things a little differently.